Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm already refreshed. I am already refreshed, and I just thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah. On last week, I spent some time sharing, and I believe I shared from the thought, God is in charge. God is in charge. Do not lose heart. God is in charge. Do not lose heart. God is in charge. Do not lose heart. And I read from the passage of scripture where Paul is writing in Corinthians, and he's encouraging them because they are under great, great attack, the church. And yet he encourages them to help them to know that in the midst of it, that God is faithful. God is faithful. And so this morning, as I continue to just seek God for what I hope to be relevant words in the season that we find ourselves, I want to speak to you from this thought today. Don't abort your God-given dream. Don't abort your God-given dream. Don't abort your God-given dream. The pandemic and the conditions of 2020 released fear and confusion and death and great loss and uncertainty in the hearts and minds of many, many around the world. And it has caused us to enter into this year dealing with the effects of the past. And it's caused there to be in the hearts of many despondency, despair, depression, disappointment, disillusionment, discouragement, and even feelings of being disconnected. How many of you would say, you know, I think I've felt a couple of those things in this time? If there ever was a time in life where it produced an atmosphere of uncertainty, it was 2020. And there's yet a lingering residue right now for many. And I believe that God wants to speak clearly to his church and says, don't abort the dreams I've placed in your heart. Don't abort the vision that I've given you. Don't abort it. To dream means something that somebody hopes, longs, or is ambitious for. Usually something difficult to attain or far removed from present circumstances. An idea or hope that is impractical or unlikely ever to be realized. God has made us to be dreamers. We were created to dream. We were created to fulfill dreams. And you and I, we must not allow life to stand in the way of that being fulfilled. What we want to do is accept the obstacles that will arise, anticipate them, adjust, and keep moving forward. Now, the challenge for many of us, though, with 2020 is most never saw that coming. As a matter of fact, there are those in the body of Christ who are saying, where are the prophets? I'm talking about in the church. Why didn't they tell us? Where are the prophets who can see and know and declare? Well, I'm not sure we'll ever get an answer for that. But out of this year that we've come through and into this year, and we're still navigating through it, still needing to wear masks, many now being vaccinated, and there's all kind of opinions out there about that. there's still the foreboding feelings that I've talked about that are causing people to wonder moving forward, is what I dream, what I envision, what I believe for, can it ever really happen now? Many are still, and I'm talking about believers, many are still in that place of despondency. And many in despair, because we've gone through a year where many things were shut down. Many who had dreams and ideas and started out to accomplish things in ending out in December of 2019, only to come into 2020, and by March everything is shutting down. So businesses, companies have gone out of business. I went by a clothing store yesterday, just riding by, was going to go in and kind of look at a couple of things. Gone. Just gone. Empty. I don't even know what the sign said on the door. All I know is everything in the store was gone. And that's the kind of thing that's still permeating right now all around us. It's leading some to depression. It's leading some to that place of having to navigate through the disappointments and the disillusionments, the discouragement, and the feelings of being disconnected. I want to say this to the church, the body of Christ. You know, the scripture talks about a great falling away. I want to just submit something to you, that falling away isn't just out of a place of rebellion or sin. I believe we're starting to see some falling away right now. I'm talking about the connectedness of the body, the connectedness of community. And my prayer is that God will help us to rise above the despondency, rise above the sense of despair, depression, disappointment, disillusionment, discouragement, so that we don't stay in a place of isolation thinking you got to try to figure it out on your own. We are at our greatest strength when we come together. I'm going to say that again. We are at our greatest strength when we come together. Why? Because sometimes all you need is somebody just close to you. This type of uncertainty and this type of atmosphere that we find ourselves in, it's not new. It goes down through history and through time. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 61 and verse 2 says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. He's saying, I'm overwhelmed with all of this. Has anybody felt overwhelmed coming out of last year or through last year into this year? It's easy to feel that way. I'm telling you. Without a pandemic. But that added to it, and all that came with it, has caused many to now begin to abort the God-given dream that God has given you, the vision that God has given you, the awakening on the inside of you when you were born again. That helped you to begin to recognize that you really do have purpose. You really do have a destiny in God. I want to say to all of us, I believe that we are now entering into the reality of the word spoken in Joel chapter 2, 28, 29, where he says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. When you read the book of Joel, what you'll find there is that they had gone through a terrible, terrible plague where the locust came in, ate up everything. There was nothing left. But then they were also faced with not only that kind of army, but a natural army as well. And in the midst of that, God comes to them and he begins to bring them a word of assurance. And in that word, he says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams and young men will see visions. I believe even in the midst of all that we have gone through, there was an outpouring of God's Spirit. I'm going to say it just for me. There's an outpouring outpouring of God's Spirit that causes there to be an awakening. So now you're more in tune with what's going on around you. So you're not affected by it in the same way as others, all that is going on. Don't abort your God-given dream. What is it that God has placed in your heart that you think can't happen now because of what happened in 2020? I'm telling you, you don't want to stay on that page. The word abort means to terminate a procedure or our process prematurely, to stop in early stages. Synonyms for the word abort are words like abandon, call off, cancel, drop, recall, revoke, scrap. You don't want to abandon the dream. You don't want to abandon the call. You don't want to abandon the assignment. It's a ploy of the enemy to shut down the church, to shut down as many believers as possible. And he's doing it by moving people into these places that I'm talking about. The despondency and the despair and the depression and the disappointment, the disillusionment, the discouragement, the sense of being disconnected. All of this and any of this can lead to aborting and walking away from every hope and dream that you ever had. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't abort the dream. Don't do it. Don't do it. I know it can look hopeless. It can look like it's all over, but don't do it. David writes in Psalms 27, he's running from Saul. He recognizes that God has anointed him, called him to be king. There's an assignment on his life, but he's running. He's scared. He says this in Psalms 27, verse 13. He says, I would have fainted. I would have given up unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm telling you, there's still goodness out here. There's still goodness out here because you and I are here. There's still goodness. There's still goodness. There's still goodness in the land of the living because you and I are here. I would have fainted except I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Don't abort your God-given dream. When God speaks a word, hear me, when God speaks a word to you and I, that word has life. The word of God is alive. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews, thank you, Lord, in Hebrews chapter 4, this is like a real message today because I got a paper Bible. In Hebrews chapter 4 and starting at verse 13, this is what it says. For the word of God is living. Say that. King James says the word of God is alive. The word of God is living. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to his eyes, to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees it all. He knows it all. The word of God is alive. There is life in every word that God speaks. When God speaks over your life and over my life, that word is alive. That word is alive. The word of God is alive. The word of God is working. Hear me, no matter what situation that you are going through, that word is working. That word is working. That word is working. Come on, say, his word is working in my life. His word is working in me. And you have to recognize, listen, our job isn't to figure out how it's working or how it's going to happen. Our part, my part, your part, is to keep believing, trusting, and obeying. Keep believing, trusting, and obeying. Keep believing, trusting, and obeying. Because when the word starts to work, life is produced. When the word starts to work, life is produced. Every word that Jesus spoke was words of life. That's why when you read in the scriptures, there came a certain time when he said less and less. As a matter of fact, when he went before Pilate, when he went before the courts, his words were few because every word he spoke was life. Every word he spoke was life. When he got on the cross, his words were few because every word he spoke was words that brought life, that brought results. God's word works in your life and in my life the same way. And I hear God saying, do not abort your God-given dream. Now, I'm not talking about the dream you've had. I'm talking about the dream that he has placed on the inside of you. That's the one that he's fulfilling. That's the one that may be yet to be fulfilled. And it's when you and I do our part to keep believing, trusting, and obeying. Keep believing, trusting, and obeying that we see the word come to pass. I want to encourage us through Joseph, the dreamer. When you read concerning Joseph, and we all know, if we know the scriptures, that he had some dreams. What I love about the scriptures is that it will always give us, has the ability to give us blueprints, has the ability to give us signs that help us. The scripture says, thy word is a lamp, a light, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. It can illuminate for us and help us to see certain things in certain seasons of our lives. And so I believe that in Joseph's life, we're able to see how God's word worked, brought him to the fulfillment of purpose and destiny, even while navigating through a season, hear me, where he could have aborted it at any time. He could have abandoned it at any time. He could have stopped at any time. He could have just said, forget it at any time. But I want you and I to know this, that God never, ever forgets his word. As a matter of fact, the scripture says he watches over his word to perform it. When he spoke to Jeremiah and he said, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, I see the branch of an almond tree that's budding. He said, you have seen well. I will now hasten to fulfill my word. He's saying, now that you see it, we can get it done. I'm talking to you now. Now that you see it, you can get it done. And I want to say to some of us in this season, it's time to get your vision back where it needs to be. It's time to get your vision back on God. It's time to get your vision back in the scriptures. It's time to get your vision back in the word. It's in Genesis 37, around verse 5. It says this. Genesis 37, verse 5. It says, then Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. You know that Joseph was the favorite of his father. And he said to them, please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Then his brothers said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dream and for his words. Now he had still another dream, and he related it to his brothers and said, lo, I have had still another dream. Now, how many of you know, based on the way they responded to the first dream, you might want to hold the second one, but he wasn't getting the message. But so it says, lo, I have had still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. Now, that is kind of strong, isn't it? That's like going up to your family members and saying, one day, y'all gonna all bow down to me. I had it in a dream. How many, you know, family members wouldn't be real excited about that? But look at what it says here. And his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you to the ground? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Now, I want you to notice that from that word, which the scriptures say he might have been around 17 at the time. From that word, he went to the pit. From the pit, he went to Potiphar's house. From Potiphar's house, he went to prison. And from prison, he went to the palace. Was God's word working? Was God's word working? His word was working all the time. All the time. They wanted to kill him, decided not to, put him in a pit, then they sold him into slavery. The word is working all the time. If you can recognize that in the backdrop of your life, in the backdrop of my life, is the word, is the dream of God concerning you. And that word is working. Hear me. It manifests itself the more you and I come into not just the revelation of it, but the reality of it, the embracing and the acceptance of it. Then that word begins to come to light in areas of our life. The more you and I walk in the reality of the word of God working in us and through us, the more that word will be manifested, the more that God will fulfill the God-given dream that he's placed on the inside of you and I. You must recognize that God's word is working simultaneously in every area of your life. That word is in your life to clean you up, clean us up, and set the scenario around us to be able to walk out and fulfill what God has called us to do. Just three more amens. Just three more amens with that. Amen. Joseph remained in the right place of believing, trusting, and obeying. Believing, trusting, and obeying, even though the conditions seemed like they were going opposite, they were headed in the right direction of the fulfillment of the dream that he had. How do we see that? Where do we see that? You can see it by going to Genesis 42 and looking at verse 6. When you get to Genesis 42 and verse 6, it says this. Now Joseph was the ruler over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. Don't abort the God-given dream. Trust the God of the process. You may not be able to trust the process, but trust the God of the process. The word of God says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. If you and I are endeavoring to walk godly, if we're endeavoring to walk in the ways of God, in the word of God, he will order your steps. Learn to trust the God of the process. Hear me, because sometimes you and I can get tripped up with the process because it just doesn't seem like it matches up. Yeah, help us, God. Help me. It just seems like sometimes it doesn't match up. You've heard from God. You've heard from God. He gave you a word. He gave you a dream. And you start out, you head out to fulfill it, but nothing seems to be matching up. Trust the God of the word and the God of the process. Trust the God of the word. Trust the God who's given the dream, and trust the God of the process. Because right about the time that you start to get a little antsy and a little doubtful, you're probably right on the verge of the manifestation of the promise, of the dream, of the vision, of the word that's spoken. Because you must recognize this, the closer you get to walking in what God has purposed for your life, the harder things can become. Don't abort the God-given dream. I know 2020 was incredibly hard for all of us, but don't let that stop you. Don't scratch anything off the pad. Don't erase anything off the board. Don't delete anything off your computer, except that God says to you, we're no longer doing that. We're going to do this. But if it's still on the pad, if it's still on the paper, if it's still somewhere in the database and God says keep it there, you need to know this. He's got another way that he's going to bring that to pass. And you need to know that he ain't figuring out how he's going to bring it to pass. He just hadn't told you yet the way that he's going to bring it to pass. That's a good time. I'm going to clap for myself right there because I feel this. I feel this. Hallelujah. So what do you do when information comes to you that is contrary to what you were believing for? You're going along just fine, and you're trusting and you're believing, and then some information comes that just kind of wants to shake your foundation. Well, we see a good example of that in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, it's around verse 40, Pastor Deborah. And I love this passage of scripture because it shows how Jesus says this is how you react. So in Luke chapter 8, verse 40, it says, And as Jesus returned, the multitude welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at his feet, say he worshiped him. Proper posture before a holy God that then gives opportunity for a relationship with him. He fell at his feet and began to entreat him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12. She was dying. But as he went, the multitudes were pressing in on him. So Jairus comes to him, and Jairus says, would you please come to my house? My daughter is dying. Jesus says, let's go. And they're on their way, but there's this crowd all around, and you all know how the story goes, well, maybe most of you, that in the midst of that, not only is Jairus trying to get to his house, there's also a woman who's had a problem, an issue of blood for 12 years as well. So that's an interesting kind of take right there. The girl is 12, and she's been dealing with this situation for 12. It says, and the woman could not be healed. It says, came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak or his garment, and immediately the hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? Now, the backdrop of that in another translation or another one of the gospels, she's saying, if I can just touch him, I don't have to talk to him. I don't need an audience with him. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I believe I can be healed. So she ain't trying to get with one of the disciples and say, do you think you can get me an appointment? I just need to talk to him for 5 minutes. You know, no. She's just making her way in the midst of the crowd, and all she's trying to do is dip down and touch him. And she believes, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch him. Sometimes you don't need a talk, you just need a touch. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples were saying, Master, what are you talking about? We're in a crowd of people. Everybody's touching everybody. But Jesus said, someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me. Yeah. And the woman comes forth, and she's cowering, and she's afraid. And he says, woman, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. All while that scenario is playing out, All while that is happening, someone comes from Jairus' house. I want you to see this here in verse 49. While he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official, Jairus, saying, "Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." Come on, just say with me. The situation just changed. The situation just changed. They were believing for healing. Now it went to a whole nother level. Now it's resurrection. But I want you to notice that the well-meaning person came and said, "Trouble him no more. Your daughter's dead." Meaning, what you were hoping for is over. I want to encourage you by saying this. You will have well-meaning people around you who may want to say to you, that dream, that vision, that goal that you had, things have changed. Count it as gone. Count it as over. But you need to, you want to get still and find your place in God, because what you need is to hear the Savior's voice concerning your situation. Because even while the word is coming by this well-meaning person from the house, it says this, but when Jesus heard this, see, Jesus overheard it. He wasn't even really like in the conversation. But it says this, when he heard it, he answered him, now talking to Jairus, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she shall be made well." Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want you to recognize that what Jesus is addressing is what he knows to be a reality in all of our lives. And that is, there are times when we are afraid. There are times when we are doubtful, and there are times when we can be fearful. We can be believing, moving forward. Many of you made plans in 2019 concerning 2020, and right in the middle of it, it all just shut down. But just because it seemed like it shut down, and in some ways it did, all it did maybe for some of us, it's moved it to that whole next level. You see, with Jairus, the stakes just got higher. I like that. The stakes just got higher. See, now the glory of God is going to be more magnificent than it was about to be with the daughter just being healed. Now we're about to really see something, because Jesus is saying, let's just keep walking. Let's just keep going. And I'm speaking to some of you prophetically now. The Holy Spirit is saying, let's just keep walking. Let's just keep going. That dream is still alive. The word of God is still working, but you got to keep going. You got to keep believing, and you got to keep trusting. You got to keep going. You got to keep believing, and you got to keep trusting. You got to keep going. You got to keep believing, and you got to keep trusting. He says to him, don't be afraid any longer, only believe. What he's addressing is the fear that he has now that it's over. And secondly, what he's addressing is his unbelief. He's pulling him back into the place of faith. He's pulling him back into the faith, into that place of believing again. He's saying to him, keep believing, let's go. Keep believing, let's go. And when you read the rest of the story, you see that once they arrive there, he raises Jairus' daughter up. How do we work through? How do we walk through tremendous loss or sense of loss? Last year has been an incredible year, coming into this year, of incredible loss on so many levels. Loss of lives, loss of businesses, loss of finances, loss of future plans, just losses. How do we handle it? How do we handle it? Last night, I got an email where a dear friend of Pastor Maurice and I, pastor in ministry, passed away last night, complications of COVID. Had no idea that she was even in the hospital. This thing is real. This thing is real. Make no mistake about it. This thing is real. But I'm grateful that God is more real. I'm going to say that one more time. This thing is real, but God is more real. And we do all that we know to do, walking in wisdom. More than that, we walk in faith. And we keep our eyes and our focus on Him. But how do we work through, how do we walk through the tremendous sense of loss? David is Ziklag, 1 Samuel 30. He comes back and everybody's gone. Whole city burned to the ground. All the families, all their wives and children taken hostage. Tremendous loss. How do you handle that kind of loss? Well, the first thing for any of us and all of us, and I'm still talking about, don't abort your God-given dream. Don't deny the reality of it. Don't deny the reality of something has happened. Don't deny the reality that there's, you can't say there's no virus. There's something going on. Don't deny the reality of it. But in the midst of viewing it through the reality of the life in which we live here on planet Earth that is not redeemed, you and I must give that reality to God. David comes back. Everybody's distraught. They want to kill him. He recognizes, I don't know what to do with this situation except get to myself and get connected to God. He got to himself, renewed his hope, his trust in God. The scripture says he encouraged himself in the Lord. If there ever was a time that you and I needed disciplines in our life concerning our walk with God, it's right now. And many are faltering and many are falling away because they never really cultivated their own personal relationship. And if you happen to be listening to me and found yourself in that place, this is your opportunity to cultivate that relationship for yourself. He wants you to know that he got you. You're going to be all right. David had the kind of relationship that he could pull away, encourage himself in the Lord. I believe he just worshiped God. I believe he began to praise God. And I believe his trust began to well up. How do we walk through tremendous loss or the sense of loss that many of us are finding ourselves in right now? It is your opportunity. It is my opportunity to draw closer in our walk with God, closer in our walk with the Lord. Remind ourselves that he is the God of restoration and he is a God of redemption. He is a God of restoration and he is the God of redemption. The dreams that God has placed on the inside of you and I are still alive. The word is still working. There's a balance to our walk that I want to end out by sharing this thought. One of the challenges of 2020, particularly for those of us, those of you who have cable and watch all the different media news outlets, we have been bombarded with information overload. As a matter of fact, I don't know about you, But I just had to turn off the TV. I had to stay away from some of those news outlets who continually wanted to tell you how many died today, how many got it, how many are projected to die. And they're not just telling you locally, they're telling you in the nation and in the world how many have been infected and how many have died. And all that information is coming in. Here's what we need to recognize, particularly as we move forward. And if you are going to fulfill the God-given dream that God has for you and not abort it, and that is this: information does not always build faith, but inspiration will build faith every time. Let me say this again. Information does not always build faith, but inspiration will build faith every time. That's why, how many of you just love those inspiring shows that you watch that either is faith or it's about an underdog who achieves? How many of you like those kind of shows? Come on. Those are they build something on the inside of us. Information is good to have as long as it's the right information and not too much information. So let me say this again. Information does not always build faith. That's why the more you kept watching, the more I kept watching the news, the more I kept hearing them say, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and by this time we're going to have this many cases, by this time it's going to be this many deaths, I just kept speaking the word against it every time. I will live and not die. I will fight. I will win. I kept speaking the word. I kept speaking the word over my family. I kept speaking the word over our fellowship. I just kept speaking the word. And every time they put a number out there, I said, God, make it not so. Make it not so. Because our words create constructs. And they create and build a kind of expectation, whether we want it to or not. Information does not always build faith, but inspiration will build faith every time. Let me show you what I'm talking about as we end this out. In Numbers 13, Moses, God says, send some spies in to check out the land. Moses sends them in to check out the land, and When they go in, and many of you know this story, when they go in, they spy out the land and they come back. And so I'm picking it up in verse 25, and I want you to see this here. Now, they are reporting information. Say information. They are reporting information. So it says here in Numbers 13, verse 25. When they return from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, say 40 days. Yeah. It says, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, we went in to the land where you sent us, and certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is fruit. And so they're bringing back the fruit and showing. Now, here's the challenge. Everybody say inspirational information. They're sharing information, but this information is inspiring. Because they're saying, this is what awaits us. But I want you to notice they spent less time on that and went right into verse 28. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea, and by the side of the Jordan. Now, say information. Come on, say information. They're giving information. They're giving information. Right in the middle of them giving information, Caleb tries to give inspiration. Why do I say that? Because it says this in verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. Now, what's happening here? Why is it he needs to quiet the people? Do you think that they were all excited, like, oh, praise God, let's go? No. What they just heard had them scared. Had them saying, what is going on? As a matter of fact, we can see that in the scriptures in just a few moments. But it says that he quiets the people before Moses, and here's what he said. We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. Faith-filled words, inspirational words to build faith. Immediately, though, these guys jumped back in. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against them. Now, I want to say this to you. If you are going to continue to walk in a place that you don't abort your God-given dream, you got to know when to tell certain people to shut up. Now, I'm not trying to be, hear me now, I'm not being disrespectful. You got to know when to shut certain things down. You got to know when to quiet certain things. About that time, that's when you go get a stick and say, all 10 of y'all line up. Because you ain't going to mess up what God is bringing us into. Had they known it was going to be another 40 years, I think they would have said, look, we need to deal with this. And we need to deal with this quickly. Now, I don't know where Moses' leadership was at the time. It wasn't where it needed to be. Because Caleb is saying, surely we can do this. Surely we can do this. But they come in and they speak again, and you'll notice that what they say there. Now, the 10, hear me, the 10 moved from information to opinion. That's where you really have to be discerning. Is this information or is this your opinion? Because you see, what they first said was information. That was fact. But now they moved into opinion. And their opinion was, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land they spied out, saying, the land which we have gone and spied out is a land that devours its inhabitants. Now, there was nothing that said that. There was no sign in that land that said, we will devour you. Opinion, say opinion. When you and I are navigating through the season that we're navigating through right now, hear me, you want to operate less out of opinion and more out of that place in God where truth can be spoken. I say it this way, everybody has an opinion except God. Everybody has an opinion except God. And so there must be a balance. There must be a balance of inspiration, of information, and inspiration. The balance of information with inspiration will always produce the desired result, particularly when it comes to the things of God. That's why stories, examples, testimonies are so powerful. They encourage, they create hope and expectation, and they build faith. So let me tell you how I learned to walk this out. Joyful expectation of good. When I walked through the years of the health challenge, There came a point that God brought to us information. He brought it by way of an email, of a YouTube clip of this gentleman named Boyd Bailey. Boyd is sharing information in the context of testimony. Boyd's a believer. And once he shares that, and Pastor Maurice and I, we looked at it, reached out to him. Having reached out to him led to a phone conversation that led to a trip to Atlanta. The trip was twofold. It was one, to set an appointment to be examined by his urologist, who did this procedure on him, completely healed, that we're looking at and saying, God, is this the way you want me to go? And you all know, those that are joined to our house and been with us for years, you know, I learned to pray this simple prayer. Father, what are you requiring of me in light of what I now know? Simply meaning, this information has come to me. What do I do with it, if anything at all? But here's what made it work. It wasn't just the information. It was the inspiration. It wasn't just the facts. It was the testimony. And so when Boyd shared on the YouTube clip that he was a believer and how he believed God led him to this procedure, and if you're dealing with this condition, you might want to consider this. We went down. We met with the doctor. He shared the findings. Information. Say information. Come on, say information. We stayed overnight. The next day, we went to Boyd's house. Never met him before in our lives. But that's the way God can work in your life. And Pastor Maurice and I sat there with Boyd and his wife, drinking iced tea. And Boyd shares his testimony. Inspiration. We got the information. Now we got the inspiration. And I remember him saying to me, I believe that God can do this for you just like he did it for me. What's he doing? He's building my faith. Inspiration. And when we left there, well, they prayed with us. When we left there, on the way home, I said to Pastor Maurice, I believe this is what God wants me to do. And what I knew I had to manage is the need to know and the need to make uncertain things certain. Because once I got back, and I was sharing this with Pastor Marisa just recently, I remember, because of the World Wide Web, and you can Google just about anything and find additional information. So I began to research. Now, I already said I believe this is what God wants me to do, but now I'm trying to gather more information. And I'm Googling, and I find the two different kinds of robotic machines that do the procedure, and I'm trying to see which one, okay? I hear that information. I read the documents on that. And I remember, as sure as I'm standing here talking to you, I remember laying in my bed with my computer and I'm looking at information, but now I'm starting to hear opinions. And the Holy Ghost said to me, turn it off. That's enough. You don't need any more information. When God speaks to you and I concerning dreams, vision, purpose and destiny. He will bring to us the appropriate information we need. He will also bring to us the inspiration that builds our faith. And my encouragement to those of you here in the room and those that are watching by way of Facebook is this. Set aside some time. Get still before God and ask Him to renew your mind around the dreams that He has for you, so that you don't lose out, that you don't abort, that you don't allow yourself to abandon what He has purposed to do in your life, and for many of us, for the sake of others. Don't abort your God-given dream. God is not done working His word in you and through you. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you thank the Lord?